I love being first. Okay, so those of you who work in public health and receive federal funds, DeKalb has been very fortunate to have, at least in my tenure, received a substantial amount of money from a number of different federal sources. And if you, from the time I got here in 2005 to present, there's been a huge shift in sort of the expectations for how that funding is spent. It used to be sort of, let's try this. Enter for those of you who go behind me. It used to be more sort of project-based, short-term, usually to the choir, more than actual hardcore things that are going to change the environment. But as of the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years, everything is about policy, systems, and environment. What we're trying to do is really leave a mark and not just do things that speak to those folk that are most interested in change, but to really speak to entire communities. And so our goal with our obesity funding was to create these improvements specifically in physical activity and nutrition related to policy systems and environmental change to reduce the risk of childhood obesity. Are you hearing me okay? So we all know that obesity is not just a DeKalb County issue. It's certainly an issue throughout the United States. And I just want to share with you what's going on in DeKalb. Every 5 years, we produce a status of health report for the county. And just so you know, that's available at www.dekalbhealth.net. But our most recent study showed that these top 5 causes of death in the county. Now, there's 2 common threads to these if you want to just take a quick look. The 2 things, obviously, the first one is most of these have something to do with your lifestyle. Their choices, they're avoidable, most of them. They have to do with whether or not you exercise, do you smoke, what kind of foods do you eat, do you lead a stressful life, are you exposed to toxins. That's number one. Number two is that they all contribute to obesity in one way or another. And we thought that by decreasing obesity, we could decrease these risk factors and thereby have a healthier community. Between 97 and 2006, the obesity rates in DeKalb County went from 15% to 30%. So they doubled. We're going, obviously, in the wrong direction. Healthy People 2020's goal was 15%, so we were already way over that mark. Right now in the county, 1 in 4 adults are obese, and over half don't get that recommended level of physical activity, which is about 30 to 60 minutes a day. We take 30, but the rule of recommendation is 60. Over half said they didn't have adequate sidewalks. I grew up in California, where we walk pretty much everywhere. So to move to Georgia, I was very surprised at the lack of sidewalks that they had, not only, and particularly in the metro area. Also, over half reported that they cannot walk to a grocery store. And we'll talk to you a little bit later about why that's so important. All this data came from the 2007 Behavioral Risk Factor Survey. So this is self-reported data, but still certainly significant and worthy of some action. So let's look at the graph. You've seen the CDC graphs, I'm sure, where every 20 years we get more and more of the United States that's either overweight or obese. Well, certainly DeKalb County is no different. Every time they do these maps, the percentage of folk in the state, in the nation are becoming more and more obese. And so the darker areas are those areas within Georgia that have the highest percentages of obesity. You see the south part of the state, actually it's sort of all over, to be honest, is more than, that's more than 32% obesity at that point. DeKalb is actually in the pink still, 23 to 27%. But imagine that that's the lowest percentage in the state. So the lowest population of obesity in the state is still 1 in 4. So this is a huge problem. Obviously, I'm sure that there are similar maps throughout the United States with these this type of data. This map next to it is a self-reported, again, study that we did by zip code, which was very interesting and very controversial because it just so happens that the darkest zip code happens to be where I live. But that's not so much because I live there, but because that's a relatively well-to-do area. And when this map came out, it was all over the news, and the people that lived, oh, that can't be us, that are that much overweight and obese. But it was according to their own data that they reported. And so really it just speaks to the fact that there is not a specific area of the county that has a problem. It's really quite general. And so the opportunity to act in a way that affects the entire community is what's important, because I think that some of the funding that we've received historically has been more targeted. And so having the opportunity to impact the entire community was a very big deal to us. And so, we were blessed with this funding, Communities Putting Prevention to Work. This funding came from the Affordable Care Act through health care reform. This was the second round of funding. As you know, the first group came from ARA, the ARA money. And so, the goal was to reduce obesity through physical activity, nutrition, and again, that policy, systems, and environmental change. We were one of 41 sites that were funded throughout the United States. I'm very proud to boast that we were the only county in the state of Georgia to have received both obesity funding and tobacco cessation prevention. Tobacco cessation funding, tobacco prevention funding. And so that was a very big deal in Georgia. And we received $2.66 million to act on these issues and within a 24-month timeline, which I'm nervously saying that we are already halfway through. So I spoke to this a little bit earlier. Historically, the funding that we've received to address obesity, physical activity, nutrition, tends to, I felt like, speak to the choir. If you do an exercise class, who's coming to an exercise class? People that want to exercise. If you do a cooking class, you're approaching people who are already interested in trying to do something to improve their life. What we were trying to do is work on the folk that weren't necessarily going to come to an exercise class or learn how to change their cooking habits. And so we're looking for something that was A, long-term, but more importantly, change lifestyles and change behaviors, but in a way that was sustainable and maintainable. So it wasn't just going to say, I went to the mall and took one exercise class. No, I'm going to change your environment so that really your healthy choice is the easy choice. Hence, we created this Master Active Living Plan that really looked at where folks live and how they can become more active where they are, and build on that foundation of physical activity that I'm used to coming from a place that is a much more mobile state or area where we tended to walk more. And so this was a big paradigm shift, like I said, because it doesn't just involve public health. I mean, we can do our exercise classes and our cooking classes, and that's in our little world. But when you start talking about changing environments, you have to have a lot of different partners. And so now we're looking at DeKalb County government, because we have to work with the planners and those people that have the opportunities to construct communities, and the school system, because obviously we need to target our children if we're really going to address obesity in any kind of sustainable way. Community-based organizations, because we must have the support of the community when you're going in there and trying to disrupt what is, you know, people's comfort zones, really. Merchant associations, because businesses should be interested in access and walkability, because those are things that make communities appealing to people that want to relocate. And then, of course, neighborhoods, because they're ultimately what you're trying to focus on. And so these were some of the partners that we tried to approach and pull in when we were working on the Master Active Living Plan. It has three main interventions, and that is the Master Active Living Plan, which we'll hear more in detail about shortly, and that's through the Planning Department, Safe Routes to School, because obviously walkability to schools is a very important thing. What you see a lot in subdivisions now are these, you know, 60, 70 houses with a single entry, single exit. The school may be right next door, but you have to get out of the complex and drive to something that, honestly, if you just created some sort of easily accessible path, could be minutes away. And so this is the kind of thing that we're trying to avoid. And this is something we see throughout the United States with these big subdivisions. And so that was something we worked on as well. And then master ag and urban farm planning, because the other issue in terms of nutrition is, well, what's available to you? What can you eat? Everyone knows economically that a Caesar salad costs a whole lot more than a Happy Meal. So it's not just a matter of choice sometimes, it's a matter of economics. And so what can we do to make, again, that healthy choice the easier choice? I'm going to bring up my colleague, my able colleague now, Andrew Baker, and he can provide his own brief introduction as well, and he'll give you more details about what exactly was entailed within that Master Active Living Plan.
Thank you, Dr. Ford.
Thank you.
Good morning. Again, my name is Andrew Baker. I'm the interim director for the planning department in DeKalb County. We were really pleased to have the opportunity to work with the health department. And this is the first time that we actually have tried to tie and link together health as well as planning. I've been with DeKalb County for 5 years, experienced with the private sector for about 15 years, and became the associate director in 2006, and the interim director over the past year. The two supporting interventions that we're looking at also were media and evaluation. But one of the first things that we had to do in DeKalb County when I came was to adopt a new comprehensive plan. DeKalb County, actually parts of Atlanta actually extends into DeKalb. DeKalb was developed actually as a bedroom community, a residential community for the people that were working in the city of Atlanta that wanted to get away from the job, and then they commuted back over to our county. As a result, our county is very much dependent upon the automobile. It's interesting that people actually would drive to their home, and previously used to have a detached garage where you would walk from the garage back over to your house. We're so, let's just say, lazy these days. We now build the garages right next to the kitchen door so that we can walk in, and we never have to walk at all. So not only are we sitting on our jobs doing this, we drive back from our car and we go right into the house, so we're getting even less exercise. So that is part of the problem that we're having. But what we wanted to do was, again, we're developed as subdivisions and everybody drives everywhere. So we wanted to identify community gardens, recreation centers, the parks. Where do people really, should they be trying to get to? What are their destinations? Where are the schools and the libraries? Where are the senior facilities and so forth? And then our plan was based on these mixed-use activity centers. So our goal was, how do we encourage people to actually walk from their subdivisions to these mixed-use activity centers, which our vision was to make them pedestrianly friendly, that encourages people to walk. So the best way that we saw, and this solution doesn't require you to have a membership, okay? You don't have to join a club, athletic club, and so forth, but we are hoping that you would have a long-term commitment to physical activity. So what we've done is, the best way to encourage people to walk is to make sure that it's a pleasant experience. So our goal is to improve and enhance our sidewalks and to connect those to and our bicycle paths. And our PATH Foundation with trails, and to make sure that people have an opportunity or an option rather than driving, but to walk to the destinations. So this is a conceptual land use plan map. The circle are our conceptual mixed-use activity centers that we see are destinations throughout the community. With a developed community, you have to be very careful. Our subdivisions are very strong and very much against development. They like the things the way they are. So what we tried to do was to go in and retrofit our commercial shopping centers. You have all that asphalt, all that pavement, and our idea was to put the new density on top of those parking lots to create mixed-use environments where people can now walk to the grocery store and to those shopping centers. So the circles were very important to us. But as you know, because of cutbacks and layoffs and so forth, we have very little money to go into the circles and do detailed studies of how those circles should be laid out. So the orange circles are the areas that we selected to use in conjunction with the master active living plans for those detailed studies. So we will be going in and doing detailed studies on those, and those actually correlate with where some of our highest obesity rates are. Additionally, some of the circles we've already done, completed the detailed studies, so this grant afforded us the opportunity to go into the other circles and do detailed studies on how we can link and encourage people to walk. Once you zoom into one of the circles, as we be more specific, you will see on this particular area where it was a circle, it actually goes in and you can see where the orange is, which was a neighborhood activity center, but right next to it in the lighter shade of green actually are parklands. Additionally, in the blue are the schools that are in that particular area. So by doing a study, a detailed study of this particular area, we will look at how do you look at the subdivision pattern, development patterns, and provide linkages to the activity center, linkages to the parks, linkages to the schools, and to make all of that work together so that you want to get out and exercise rather than driving your vehicle. This is just another example, again, of what this study will do for us by using pictometry and aerial photographs as well as bringing in the professionals to look at how can we link the mixed-use activity center, in this case, which would be the orange, to, as you can see, all the residential subdivisions that are surrounding it, and how do we come up with some kind of a trail system. And the little dotted lines actually are some proposed path foundation. We have a very active Parks and Recreation Department, as well as a path foundation that will secure by land along floodplains and so forth that we're trying to connect. And so you can see from those dotted lines where we're going to try to impose or connect each one of these destinations. So again, to create a countywide system that integrates walking, biking connections, provide healthy options to encourage people to walk is the goal. One of the other things, interventions, deals with the Board of Education. A lot of you have heard of Safe Routes to Schools. A lot of times the schools have park and recreational areas, and they limited use of those to the school students. Well, there's a great opportunity to allow joint use of those facilities by reaching agreements with the county government to allow the residents access to those, since it's the same taxpayer dollars that are paying for those facilities as well. The commissioners have adopted a community gardens ordinance that encourages the development of community gardens in our parks facilities. We're trying to increase the opportunities for fresh foods. Our zoning code is being updated. We're looking at allowing for poultry as well as honeybees as well as a lot of other uses in gardening in our residential districts. We're going to utilize the media definitely to get the word out and educate the public, and so we're excited about that and how can we encourage physical activity. And so we're definitely breaking down silos, and we're going through a process where we're going to send out an RFP, hire consulting firms to come to us with projects. We're going to do about 10 activity centers at the same time. We're going to leverage the projects with the community development funds for parks that they were already doing by doing 3 demonstration projects, and we're going to work with the Parks Department for any projects they're doing and any sidewalk improvements that are occurring by Public Works to leverage those so that we can go back to the federal government to get more dollars in the upcoming years. Thank you very much.